Sandra. I'm glad God makes a difference. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would, the book of Joshua, chapter 9. The book of Joshua, chapter 9. Now, I'm going to read just a couple verses here. Then we're going to turn to Luke. And then just sit down and hang on. This message is going, I'm going to go ahead and warn you. This message might take a little bit longer this morning. If you do have to get up, do it quietly and leave if you have to. But I want us this morning to understand one thing. God is in control. And I want to begin reading. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy what we're fixing to read. And I'm going to explain it. Don't worry. But look with me at Joshua chapter 9 and verse 21. The Bible says, "And the princes said unto them, let them live." Watch now closely. "Let them live, but let them be hewers." Now here's what I want us to understand. "Hewers of wood," and watch this. This is my message. "Drawers of water unto all the congregation as the princes had promised them." Skip down to verse 27. I'm going to explain myself. "And Joshua made them that day hewers of water," wood, "and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose." Now, I'm going to explain something to you. At that time in biblical times, you'll look and find that the Gibeonites, I'll say it in a minute. That's a hard word to say, Gibeonites. Anyhow, they was trying to overtake the Israelites, all right? They was being ugly to them, so to speak. And Gideonites, I knew I'd get it. It'd take me just a minute. But they was being ugly to them, trying to overtake some things, trying to be somebody they weren't, all right? And Joshua saw that they was trying to overtake his people. He had on his mind to kill them. But the princes come up and said, "Let's do this, Joshua. Let's make them go out and cut the wood and drawers of water." Now you say, "Well, what does that have to do with anything, preacher?" Back in the biblical days, back in this time, the women was the ones who went and drawed the water. And y'all seen pictures of the women with the water pots on their heads, right? They would set them up there and balance those water pots. Now, because the Gideonites had been ugly to the Israelites, Joshua said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to humiliate you and you're going to have to do a woman's job from now on. You're going to walk down the street and people's going to see a man with the water pot on his head and it's going to be humiliating to them. It would be like John Wayne dressing up in a dress trying to have a gun sling out. Don't make sense, does it? It would be like our President of the United States giving his congressional speech in a tutu. It just don't work, right?" That's what these Gideonites had. They had to wear a dress and water pot, but they were men. A little embarrassing, isn't it? But they was distinguished who they were by what they were doing. Keep that in mind. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 22. Now, how in the world are you going to tie a man in a dress hauling a pot of water on his head to Luke chapter 22? Well, I'm going to show you. Luke chapter 22 and verse 1. Now, I want you to watch this closely. The Bible says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." Right? Now, I want to explain something to you. This is holy ground. The Passover is holy ground, and it is where we are symbolic of doing the Lord's Supper. All right? Everybody with me? Now, this is Jesus' last night on planet Earth. So, he tells the disciples, look with me at verse 3. I didn't tell Randy this. We're going to go verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, all right? So this is just going to give us an understanding of the man carrying the water pot on top of his head with a dress on, all right? Now, verse 2, if you got your Bibles, look at it. "And the chief priests and scribes sought how they may kill him, for they feared the people." Verse 3, "Satan, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12." Notice he didn't say a disciple, did he? He said a number of the 12. Now, you say, well, what's that got to do with anything, preacher? Continue. The Bible says, "And he went his way and commanded the chief priest and the captain how he might betray him unto them." Now, this ain't got much to do with the message, but as I was sitting there studying this, I thought, how many's ever heard that Judas kissed Jesus in order to betray him? Y'all ever seen or heard that? Well, Has anybody ever done a research on why he had to kiss him? I thought about that. And I thought the same thing. That was for betrayal, right? That wasn't what it is. I've done a little bit more research, and if you notice, Satan entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, right? He entered into him. Then the Bible says that Judas went and talked to the chief priest. Wonder what he said. You see, some of the scribes and Pharisees and the chief priest had never laid eyes on Jesus Christ. They've heard of him, but didn't see him or know him. So Judas said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. Whoever I kiss, that will be Jesus Christ. That's the one you will arrest." He could have kissed Paul, Peter, John. He could have kissed any of those men, and they would have arrested them thinking they was Jesus. But yet, I titled a message one time, "The Man That Kissed the Door of Heaven and Died and Went to Hell." That's a message there. But Judas kissed him, so everybody around him could say, "All right, that's Jesus. That's the one we're going to arrest." It's like somebody saying, you know, it's the man with the black hat, the blue shirt, and the blue coat on. You know, something like that, giving a distinct recognition of it, all right? I'm going to get to the message here in just a little bit. I told you it's going to take a minute. But now, skip down to verse 8. I want to show you something. Here, the Bible says this in verse 8, "And he sent," watch this now closely, "he sent Peter and John saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat.'" Now, he sent them. Where did he send them to? There's a lot in the Bible we tend to overlook. But if we put two and two together, I guarantee you it's going to equal four. Now watch. Verse 9 says something very, and verse 10. "And they said unto him," Where wilt, watch, there's a question, where wilt that we prepare? In other words, Jesus, you're sending us somewhere and we don't know where to go. Where are you wanting us to go? Verse 10. And he said unto them, behold, watch now, when ye enter into the city, watch, there shall be, shall a, not a woman, a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Way back, what we read in Joshua, Jesus is bringing back to the New Testament. So let me say something to you. If people think the Old Testament is old news, I'm here to tell you, Old Testament is good news and it's up to date as the New Testament is. So all that had to happen to the Gideonites in way back in Joshua so Jesus could bring it to pass back in Luke chapter 22. Isn't that amazing? Now watch. Follow him into the house wherein he entereth. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished. There, make ready. Now, I got to thinking about something. You know, Jesus told them, he sent Peter and John. He didn't ever say what the man's name was. Did y'all notice that? You know, Jesus knows all of our names. I got to thinking about that. My question would have been, Lord, what's his name so I can ask him? You know, are you John? I'm Peter. How you doing? You know. But Jesus never gave his name. Look for a man with a water pot on his head. That's what he said, right? Who is this man? Who is the man that Jesus picked out to have a water pot on his head at the exact time Peter and John walked into the city? Well, I had to do a little bit more research. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Now I'm going to get into the message. Now that you understood how far Joshua and Luke was apart, but God had it all in control and God saw that much ahead of time and he had it all planned out. Folks, let me tell you something. God has got everything mapped out. It's just up to us to follow the footsteps and follow the path he tells us to take. Matthew chapter 26. Look with me at verse 17. Now watch. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, is that not what we read over in Luke? The disciples came unto Jesus saying, here's that question again, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? The question again. Now watch. And he said unto them, he said, go into the city. Watch now. Remember I said I'd have asked that man's name? He said, go into the city to what? Such. There's the man's name. Such a man. I saw it, isn't it? Why, he didn't say, go and see Brother Jimmy. Go and see Brother Larry. He didn't say that, did he? He said, go see such. The reason he didn't call his name is Judas Iscariot was sitting there with evil ears to delete that and to move it out of the way and to cause havoc there because Satan had already entered into him. So I want to preach to you this morning on the subject. You got it up there, Randy? A man called Such. I told you it's going to take a little bit. But now, when we get to understand a man named Such, I done a little research on that man called Such. And did you know the Bible's full of literature, of scripture on that man called Such? I'm going to prove my point. First of all, let's look at such a man. Y'all going to catch all this in a minute. I found out, number one, that old Such was a sinner. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Look at the next verse. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Look at verse 11. The second word. "And such were some of you." How many know this morning that every last one of us were sinners before God saved us? It says, as such were some of you, but ye are washed, be ye sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How many know this morning that I found out old Such was a sinner just like you and I? And you sitting here this morning and never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you're still considered a sinner. But praise God for those of us that have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. We're sinners saved by the grace of God this morning. And I'm so thankful this morning. I used to be like Such. I was lost and undone without God. I was all reckless and abandoned this morning. But He saved my soul. He justified me. He sanctified me and put me on the right track. I realized I was just like old Such, a sinner, lost and undone without Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad He saved me. Amen. I've done a little bit more research, and now I see Such was a sinner. Number two, I found out that old Such, not only was he a sinner, but he was sentenced to die. He was sentenced to die. John chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that should be stoned." How many know that Such, just like you and I, should have died and went to hell? I thought about old Such. The Bible says that Such should be stoned. I'm not worthy to go to heaven this morning. I'm not worthy for a man named Jesus Christ to come and shed his life's blood and to hang on an old cross and be beaten beyond recognition. And I'm not willing for him to go into a grave and raise up the third day. I'm not worthy of none of that. But thank God through what he done, he makes me worthy of that. Amen. I thought, oh, Such. You know, there's somebody sitting in this church this morning had never been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You just like, I can still call you Such, amen? But I'm so thankful this morning that I used to be like old Such. I was a sinner. I was going to die. But thank God he saved my soul this morning. Praise God. Not only did we learn he was a sinner, but he should die. The Bible says we're all sinners and deserve to die. But praise God, we settled out of court. Amen. I'm so glad the judge gave me pardon this morning. How many's ever been pardoned? Can I hear you say amen? Amen. How many's glad you saved? Say amen. Amen. And this message, Lord, laid on my heart 4 or 5 weeks ago. I've had it put back, and I've worked on it a little bit here and there. But little did I realize that how many souls would be saved here in the last month, and how many we gonna baptize tonight in this watery grave. And you know what? I'm here to tell you, all baptizes tonight, I'm so glad that y'all are not old such as no more, but you're a sinner saved by the grace of God now. Amen. And there's so many people still lost and undone without God. And they're on the road to hell. Can I tell you something this morning, church? They hadn't air-conditioned hell yet. They hadn't got water in hell yet. They hadn't got booze down there in hell yet. They ain't got cigarettes. They ain't got joints. They ain't got all the pills down there. It's going to be eternal suffering when you go to that awful place. And that ought to help us to realize this morning that Jesus' blood saved my soul and I don't have to go there no more. Amen. Boy, that ought to get a hold of you this morning. That we don't have to go to that awful place called hell like old Such is. I told you Such is a man, but I don't want to be like Such, amen. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be going to hell. I want to be saved and on my way to heaven this morning. Not only did I find out that old Such was a sinner, I also found out that Such was sentenced to die. Number three. I found out in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that old Such got saved. I'm preaching to you this morning about my life. I was Such one day, but I'm so thankful that God saved me. Some of you is going to grab a hold of this message. But the Bible says in Acts, 2 and 47. It says simply, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, watch, such as should be saved. Aren't you glad this morning that God can save an old Such like you and I? I'm so thankful this morning of what Jesus done for me. I ain't got over it yet. I got saved December the 16th, 1993, and I still ain't got over it, amen. Some of you that I'm going to baptize tonight have been recently saved and on your way to heaven now, praise God. But I'm so glad God can still save old Suches. Amen. I'm so thankful this morning. Old Such was a sinner. Old Such was sentenced to die. Old Such got saved. Watch this now. Number four. The Bible says, number four, not only was Such a sinner, sentenced to die, but got saved. I also found out that old Such, that he got saved, is now a worshiper. John chapter 4. I want you to look with me at verse 23 and verse 24. The Bible says, the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh to do what? I found out old Such is a worshiper. You see, I have a feeling there's a lot of Suches here this morning that just hadn't gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You say, but preacher, I've been down there and got on my knees. That don't make you saved. Amen. You say, but preacher, I believe in God. That don't make you saved. You say, preacher, I read my Bible. That don't make you saved. You say, preacher, I pray. That don't make you saved. What does make you saved? I want you to hear me this morning. That when you do bow your head and the Holy Spirit of God is dealing and drawing you to the bleeding side of Calvary, you realize that what you've been doing is wrong, and you ask God to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and life and save your soul. That old such becomes a worshiper. Churches nowadays are just too quiet because there's too many dead suches in the church. What God done for you, mom and daddy couldn't. Amen. Jesus died and rose again. You are to be shouting a victory. You don't have to go to that awful place called hell anymore. Praise God. He allowed a U-turn in your life. Now you're on your way to heaven. We ought to be shouting a victory this morning. But what happens is old such goes back to their old ways. Old such maybe didn't get saved. I thought I was saved in an early age. I went down to the altar in my home church. And I had a lady there was praying, and I knelt down right beside of her, and she said, Timmy, she said, what you need me to help you pray for? I said, Miss Barbara, I'm lost. She said, repeat after me. Can I say something to you this morning? A repetitious prayer won't get you into heaven. You got to pray it from your heart. You got to realize before Jesus can find you, you got to realize first you're lost. Amen. You got to realize you're lost and undone without God. And you got to also realize that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and life and save your soul. But you got to be willing to do it. I can't do it with my mouth. You got to do it with yours. Ain't that what the Bible says? But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, but preacher, I've been to the altar 4 or 5 times. I don't care how many times you've been to the altar. It only takes one good time to make everything right. Amen. When the Spirit is drawing, you say, preacher, I done been baptized 10 times. It don't matter how many times you've been baptized. And y'all have heard me say this till the tadpole know your social security number back here. That don't matter either. But what does matter is when you come down to the bleeding side of Calvary, you got your heart and life right with Jesus Christ. You believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, and you will be saved. And there ain't nothing can change that. Praise God. I found out old such is a worshiper. The Father seeketh who such is. I wonder this morning, can we say this morning that we're here pleasing God? That we're worshiping God like we should? I can answer that for all of us this morning. We could do better at that. Amen. Every last one of us could do better at worshiping God. We don't have to be at church to worship God. We can worship God going down the road in our car. We can worship God sitting on the front porch singing. Amen. It don't matter where you are, you could worship God more. I can say that. But I found out old such. Now I want y'all to listen to me closely. On this next one. Old such was a sinner. Old such was sentenced to die. Old such got saved. Amen. I found out old such become a worshiper. But then here's my life story. Number 5. I found out old such was a backslider. Found out old Such was a backslider. But I'm fixing to throw something at you right here. Yes, old Such was saved and he became a backslider. But how many know he didn't lose his salvation? Praise God. You can't slide back something you ain't never been up close to. Did y'all catch that? Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Now watch this. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the millennial reign of Christ. This is the first resurrection. Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Watch. On the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. My, my. You see, number 5, I found out old Such was a backslider, but the Bible says he didn't lose his salvation. He still can reign. Old Such is going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. I'm so thankful this morning, you know, no matter how bad we get, I'm thankful we got a forgiving God, aren't you? I don't care what you say, what you do. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and forgive us for all our unrighteousness. Last one. I found out, oh Such. You ready? We'll be leaving soon. Oh Such. We'll be leaving this old world soon. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Read the rest of it. Such a one. What happened? Caught up into the third heaven. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, that third heaven, who was caught up in that third heaven? I'll tell you who it was. It was old Such. Old Such got caught up in the third heaven. This is the whole Christian experience in a man called Such. Such was a sinner. You and I. Such was sentenced to die. Just like you and I. Such got saved. Praise God. Such worshiped the Father. Oh, Such backslid. But he didn't lose his salvation. Oh, Such will be leaving this old world soon. Is that not our life in a nutshell? I'm just so glad this morning this old Such, a sinner like me, got saved. How many's glad that that old Such this morning got saved? Praise God. But there's an old Such sitting here this morning that hadn't never repented of their sin. God has blessed us tremendously. But I'm thankful I'm an old Such that's saved and on his way to heaven. You here this morning have never been saved. It's such a good day to get saved. It's such a good time to come to this altar and let me show you what God can do for an old Such like you. Miss Sandra, if you'd come. Father, Lord, I know you've given me this message just at the right time. Lord, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I've done exactly what you wanted me to do. Father, I've done all I can do. Lord, I'm asking you to work now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would move an old such out of their seat right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind all hands that's holding them back. I bind all evil spirits that's holding them in that seat. Lord, I bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that lives forever, that shed his life's blood on Calvary's cross. I bind him right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would cause that person to get up out of that seat and, oh, such a lost man going to hell, and help them to realize, Lord, there's not just such a good time to come get saved. Lord, would you work right now in the hearts and lives of your people? Would you do that? While Christians are praying right now, Lord, would you move an old such out of their pew and come to this altar and get saved? Would you help me pray that this morning? If you're there in your seat and you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, maybe there's a little doubt in your mind, the place you need to be is on this altar. Would you come right now? Would you come? I don't want to see an old such go to hell. I want to see such going to heaven. Why don't you get out of your pew and come on? Hey, we can get saved this morning and baptize you tonight. Would you move? Would you come? God will take care of you, I promise you. Come on. Don't put it off no more. Such is fixing to leave this old world. He was called up into the third heaven. Do you know you're going to be living tomorrow? I don't know if I'm going to be living tomorrow. But I'm so glad I know where I'm going when I do die. Would you come?